Let us listen now for God's word. Our first reading for this morning is taken from Ezekiel chapter 37, reading verses 1 to 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many bones lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.'" So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, and there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, 'Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came in them, and they lived, and stood on their feet a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I shall place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act. Thus says the Lord." We continue to read from the Old Testament now from the book of Psalms. Our psalm for this morning is Psalm 130. "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark my iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch the morning. More than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all her iniquities." Friends, thanks be to God. Turning now in the New Testament, we begin by reading at Romans chapter 8, verses 6 to 11. Romans chapter 8 and the 6th verse. "To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit of life because of life. It became because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. And our final reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to John, John chapter 11, verses 1 to 45. This reading is a fairly lengthy reading. It is a story of the raising of Lazarus. Listen now for God's word. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, Jesus told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, though they die, yet will they live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said, "Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been there for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus, looking upward, said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him, let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mortal, can these bones live? The lectionary this morning presents us with these two stories of reconstituted life. Ezekiel is given this image of a valley filled with bones bleached in the sun. Not simply dead bodies, but this jigsaw puzzle of mortality. A bone over here, a bone over there, random and shapeless. In John's Gospel, we have the story of the raising of Lazarus, difficult and enigmatic, as only John's version of Jesus can be. There are a lot of different things happening in this reading, but at its heart, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, and people would have rather he hadn't. The question that this story raises, not just for the characters in the story, for Mary and Martha, and for the disciples, but for us as well, is, do you believe it? Do you believe that Lazarus has been raised from the dead? Can these bones live? In the story, Jesus delays his coming to Bethany when he hears that Lazarus, his friend, is ill. While the disciples are puzzled by this, we learn that Jesus is calculating. Jesus delays his coming so that Lazarus will indeed die. This last great sign of Jesus' power, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, is part of God's unfolding plan. And there are hints in the text that we should not miss, that Lazarus is really dead. According to the ancient rabbinical traditions, the soul lingered near the body for 3 days in hopes of being reunited with the body once again, in hopes of being reinvigorated. When Jesus arrives on the 4th day, we know that the soul then would have been gone. And as Martha, even the practical one, notes, decomposition would have already begun. There will be a smell. Whatever hope there may have been that Lazarus was merely asleep, that perhaps he was only unconscious, vanished with the first whiff of decay. When Jesus says to Martha, your brother will rise again, Martha, it is clear, has some belief in the resurrection of the dead at the last days, when the Messiah comes. But not here, not now, not for her brother. Jesus then asks to be taken to the tomb, and once there demands that the stone be rolled away, and calling Lazarus by name, he commands him to come out. And remarkably, unbelievably, against all odds, Lazarus came out. And the question remains, do you believe it? Sitting in my little corner of the basement, mulling over the story of the raising of Lazarus this week, my gaze happened to fall upon the bookcase that sits there, and on one of the shelves there was a book entitled A Reasonable Faith, The Case for Christianity in a Secular World. Full disclosure, I have not yet read that book. Like many of the books that live in ministers' studies, I suspect, they are there for when we retire and we have more time to read. So please do not blame the author of the book for what I am about to say. But it struck me as I looked at that title of the book that it summarizes the struggle with resurrection that we have. It is not reasonable resurrection. The idea that Jesus would raise Lazarus from the dead was not reasonable for those who gathered around the tomb. They believed that Jesus could heal the living, but raise the dead? How could this be so? And they knew that Lazarus was really dead. The idea that Jesus would raise their brother was not reasonable for Mary and Martha. And for us, I think, the idea that Jesus would raise Lazarus is not reasonable. It does not fit neatly into our predictable, secure, scientific boxes. Even for us who live in the modern world, dead men do not rise. Death is the one inescapable reality of our human existence. But here, into the midst of this uncertainty, Jesus intervenes. Into the midst of our certainty, Jesus intervenes. The Lord of life, who called into being all that is from nothing, calls into the tomb, into the kingdom of death, and brings forth life. Can these bones live? In the story of Lazarus, Jesus calls out Lazarus by name, and new life begins. For us as Christians, we know that we too have been called by name. In the sacrament of baptism, God calls each of us by name and calls us to new life. In the sacrament of baptism, as we descend below the surface of the water, we believe that we participate in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we are raised above the water again, we begin a new life, enlivened and equipped by the Holy Spirit to be God's faithful people in the world. Can these dry bones live? In our churches, that question has been lingering for several decades now. Can these bones live? Do we have anything to say to a world that seems to have it all? Do we have anything to say to a world that has explored the far reaches of space and has plumbed the depths of the sea? Do we have anything to say to a world that has been able to map our very DNA and has the power to alter life at a chromosomal level so that we create life in our image? Can these bones live? We are living in uncertain and difficult times. Everything that we thought we knew, everything that our world depends upon, has been thrown into jeopardy. Markets are in turmoil. Those activities and tasks that just a couple of weeks ago gave purpose and shape to all of our lives have been exchanged for the isolation of our own homes. And on any given day, the downtown of our city is as good as dead. And people are fearful, for death is the great uncertainty. And yet, even now, Christ is calling us by name. We believe in a God who is sovereign, who is over and above all things. Even in times of uncertainty and fear, we know that there is one who looks upon us all and sees the divine image in us and looks upon us with love. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live.'" Now, more than ever, our world needs words of certainty, a word that cuts through the fear and declares, "I am God, and that these days will pass." That God will indeed breathe his breath into us once more. Now, more than ever, our world needs the church to recover her mission to be present in the world, to ease the suffering of those who have the least. The challenge in these days will be to find those new ways to come together to be God's church in service of the world, to find ways that we can meet and discern God's will, that we can continue to minister to the most vulnerable amongst us and to embody God's love for them. Mortal, can these bones live? Can these bones live? These bones live. Thanks be to God. Amen.